Hey everybody, welcome back to Seller Performance Solutions. I'm here with Leah McHugh. Welcome back to Leah. She was gone for a couple of weeks. She was extremely busy and occupied sorting through compliance investigation and appeal hell.
Sure.
And escalation hell.
The usual.
But we were talking about the upcoming Seller Velocity event in France, which is only a few weeks away. And you had a lot on your plate. So that happens sometimes. One thing you haven't had the pleasure of working on is review manipulation, reviews, abuse, suspensions.
No.
My colleague Michael and I have been shouldering that wonderful burden, wonderful in quotes, partially because people are still playing games with insert and social media messaging, I guess is one way to phrase it, but influencer use. And then beyond that, we even lately heard that the dark cloud of rebate use has somehow come back, I thought, from the dead.
That comes around every 5 years or so, I guess.
Rebates were punished so harshly.
4 years ago was when they really cracked down.
Those body slam suspensions. I mean, a lot of people just didn't come back from that. Maybe we can take a quick walk back in time to, I guess, 2021, where people who had been busted for inserts before the rebates and then got nailed for the new, at the time, newish rebate strategies. I mean, some of them didn't come back, didn't get reinstated. These are cyclical, every so often type purge suspensions. We know that. Anyone who's been on Amazon for any length of time knows that sometimes it's quiet and cold. Sometimes it's hot and furious.
Like variation misuse, which is also a way to manipulate reviews, incidentally.
Oh, I wasn't even planning on getting into the merged listing part of this today because I've heard, and I can in a moment get into where I'm getting this info from, I've heard that Amazon's paying way more attention to influencer stuff, how it plays out, what the messaging looks like. Are influencers buying your product on Amazon so it's a verified review and then you're paying them back? All of that has been on the table for a few months now. And there was an initial suspension for misuse of influencers. But alongside or piggybacking on that was the kind of product inserts are back. My speculation would be margins are getting tighter. People are getting less revenue from their brands. So they're trying these things. Maybe some of it's desperation. But why don't we start with the rebate stuff? Because I'm pretty sure I fell out of my chair, physically fell out when I saw that rebates are back. So do you have the quote from the policy in front of you?
Well, so I guess the common misconception at the moment is that as long as you don't ask for a review, that rebates are fine. This is actually one of the few things that Amazon specifically cites in their seller code of conduct as not being fine. So the seller code of conduct says, examples of unfair activities include manipulating sales rank, such as by accepting non-authentic orders or orders that you have paid for or refunding externally or orders that you discounted externally. Sounds a lot like rebates to me. So even if you aren't asking for a review, one, you are likely to get more reviews when you are doing the rebates, which Amazon still will flag as review manipulation. And also, even if you prove that you weren't asking for a review, the fact that you were giving rebates is still a violation of their code of conduct.
Right. Anytime you compensate people, the first time we went through this, it was the whole before and after. Oh, we didn't compensate them before they left the review. It was after. So before, nothing happened. They were only had the promise that they were going to get something, but they didn't get it till after. And everyone believed that as long as you didn't pay and then the reviews left afterwards, you were okay. I don't know why you would think that way. If you know somebody's going to pay you back for something, it doesn't actually matter if it was before or after. I think that was just a guru freak marketing concept that went out of control and everyone fell for it. Then we had a message a few weeks ago. People started getting, if you correspond with customers to influence them on one or more of the following, requesting or sharing personal information, modification of a negative review or seller feedback, or asking for favorable reviews or seller feedback, those violate the community guidelines. So let's just take that apart for a second. Personal information is how it reads. That could be a physical address.
Right.
So at any point you're trying to get actual addresses and then sending them postcards. Postcards were a huge fad in 2024. Amazon doesn't want you sending postcards to people for the purposes of, hey, go to my website. Hey, look at this discount. Hey, you get a free item. That's what people are using the postcards for in most cases. Mm-hmm. I did hear from some people who said, nope, we're just using postcards to make people aware of a warranty, and we never make them leave a review or do anything else.
Sure, but it's still a misuse of Amazon customers' data as far as Amazon is concerned.
Yeah. If you read that message that I just read to the letter of the law, which you have to assume Amazon's reading it in a very strict conservative sense.
Literal. They're very literal.
Literal is personal information, could be a physical address or an email address. And that seems to be that they're, I haven't seen that message in a bunch of places, but it seems like they're poking holes in the notion that you can ask for these things by having people scan a QR code or however you do it. What seems to be the problem in the Amazon space is everyone thinks the delivery mechanism is what matters.
Yeah, like, I like when people tell me that, oh, but if it's in a QR code, Amazon doesn't check QR codes. I don't know where you got that from.
Well,
but no.
Yeah. Assume Amazon can view your whole funnel.
Well, and assume your competitors can review your whole funnel.
Competitors are 10 times better now than 2021, 2022 at reporting abuse, and they know reviews abuse is a hot topic. And everyone knows this now, including Amazon. I've been on calls where there's an investigation underway for review manipulation, and somebody at Amazon will join the call with the seller, with the brand, and say, I want to go over the policy page with you. And then they don't tell you what they have on you, but they want to tell you what their interpretation of the policy is. So I'm actually in favor of this in a way, because they're finally willing to do something other than send boilerplate messaging.
Information.
And also, you're not dependent on somebody on account health teams or support teams, even worse, interpreting the policy and all of their wayward, wacky approaches that they use, which are never consistent. Because if you're speaking with somebody on a product review abuse team at Amazon, you know you're at least closer to the target of how Amazon interprets the policies. Mm-hmm. So they said on that call, they're aware that the FTC is cracking down on sellers doing this, identifying specific sellers. They're being pushy with Amazon about it, obviously, if people at Amazon are complaining about it.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing that I like to mention whenever we talk about this, is that keep in mind that any employee of the FTC can go through your sales funnel.
Right. And they have.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite news stories. Somebody from the FTC bought something from Amazon, found a non-compliant insert, and then reported that seller to the FTC, whom they worked for.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard that as well from other people. Bottom line is, whether it's a postcard or an insert, or people are trying to now say, because the insert thing swung back again and so many people using bad inserts were getting suspended, people started saying, nope, we're just using influencers through Instagram, and we're pushing for people to try the product and asking them for feedback, and we're not necessarily asking them to leave a review. But a lot of these people were given free product. And to Amazon, free product means a good review. And that's why whether you ask for a review or not no longer matters, in my opinion.
Well, so then I guess my question would be, for people using influencers, what would you recommend they do?
Yeah. I mean, don't give them profit for free. Don't have them buy on Amazon. This is what I'm telling people not to do. Because you can share product. No one said you can't use influencers, right? You can get product in the hands of influencers and they can give you feedback on it. Don't give them product or have them buy on Amazon, which is a verified review, and reimburse them for it, right? You can share stuff on Instagram. No one says never use Instagram.
But are you recommending that people working with reviewers also explicitly put somewhere in the agreement that the influencer will not leave a review on Amazon?
People don't want to hear this, but you have to specify, if I'm going to give you this product or share this product with you or get your feedback on this product, do not leave a review. Yeah. Influencers talk about products all the time. It's part of culture, TikTok, social media. It's there.
Also,
it's never going to go away.
Things that they should be doing legally when they do that, but that is not our problem because we only deal with Amazon.
Right. But that's the same concept, is because what I've seen people doing in appeals is, well, we didn't tell them to leave a review. Okay, but did you tell them not to leave a review? This podcast is going to make us unpopular with some people.
I'm used to that.
But yes, that's true. Number one, we're already unpopular for some of our views. Secondly, it reached the climax of this problem, which is Amazon is under the gun. They're being scrutinized, not just by the FTC, by lots of people in terms of how are people getting these positive reviews. And if you're going to leave in the comments on YouTube or on LinkedIn or wherever you see us talking about this, what about all the Chinese sellers who are getting 500 reviews overnight? Yes, we're aware that's a problem. We never tell people to just let that go and assume that's normal. You should always pursue reporting that as well, because we know that's a huge deal. But I hate to use the two wrongs don't make a right, but that doesn't mean you can get away with trying to compete by using some of these tricks and gimmicks that I guess are just sort of the last resort for some people who haven't been able to keep up or who have shrinking margins because of other challenges. So be careful with how you do this stuff. Don't hang your hat on just, but we didn't ask for a review. I've seen people try to do that. And one last thought on the calls I was on that involved product review abuse teams. One thing they mentioned was it doesn't actually matter if you're successful at getting those reviews. If you give away a bunch of product and we see you giving it away, you won't get away with it, I guess, or they don't only punish you if they see a huge spike in your positive reviews. They made a point of quoting the attempt to get reviews, the attempt to manipulate reviews is enough to at least put you in the 72-hour appeal window where you have to appeal in order to keep your account active.
Yeah.
It's at least enough to do that. Not all those people get suspended, right?
Right.
Some people appeal within 72 hours. We've had people recently come to us who are doing all kinds of stuff.
All kinds of things.
Everything you could think of they were doing. They appealed, and within 72 hours, first of all, they didn't miss the window. They appealed, and they got it accepted, and they're still actively selling. There are people who are maybe caught doing one thing, which could even be minor or considered borderline. Their whole account goes.
Yes, well, in normal Amazon fashion, it's inconsistent.
Yes. Yeah. So I know that you don't deal with this as much. I mean, you hear about these things.
Yeah, of course.
And you consume some of it with whatever LinkedIn posts are up or whatever videos are on YouTube, but the madness continues. And I know people don't want to play this conservatively right now because of the challenges and the shrinking margins. And I know your competitors are doing some things that are probably helping them edge you out on some sales.
Right.
Doesn't mean you can't report them. If they're violating policies, you can report them. And it isn't against rules to report your competitor. If it's a valid complaint, you can do that, right?
And to be clear, we mean reporting them to the abuse teams, not
right.
leaving negative feedback on that seller or leaving a bad review on that seller's product
yes.
saying that they have fake reviews. Please don't do that. That will get you into trouble.
That's one of the things that came up.
Or messaging recently. Them through buyer-seller messaging. Sorry, trying to think of all the things.
Yeah, one seller got into trouble because I think first off, it started with they thought they had some bad reviews from a competitor, but they didn't really know. They started seeing their competitor getting ridiculous numbers of reviews. They said they reported it. They probably did some low-level email queue, open seller support case stuff, which almost never works, almost is just not worth doing at all, but it didn't work. And then they started leaving negative reviews for their competitors. And they did it in a very obvious way.
We've also seen people leave negative feedback yeah. on sellers or even like people selling counterfeit versions of their products. Seen them leave negative yeah. feedback on that seller. Don't do that. That'll get you into
trouble.
Don't
do that. Then you look like you're just anti-competitive behavior.
Right.
It's with anything else. There's a right way to do this stuff and the wrong way to do this stuff. So questions on this? I mean, there's the LinkedIn post.
Chris made a guide of how to ask for reviews the right way, so you won't get in trouble.
Right.
We'll include the link to that post in the show notes.
Yes, we will. And I think as we get closer to Seller Velocity in France, you can go to sellervelocityconference.com if you're interested in more information on that. Selling in the UK and Europe is becoming a really big deal because of tariffs. But I think the review manipulation stuff is going to be part of what I talk about in France now because it swung back around really hard. And a lot of people are being put in the re-offender bucket, which means you were already warned for it once and punished for it once. And at least, I'm not saying this is true every time. You can dispute it when it's not. at least in Amazon's eyes, they consider you a reoffender because you were already actioned once. Again, doesn't mean you were suspended twice, just means you were actioned twice. And the second time is considered reoffending, which means you're going to have a steeper hill to climb to get
reinstated. I have had a few conversations with sellers who seem to think that the Europe markets aren't as regulated as the US market because there aren't as many sellers. And just to clear things up, the EU and UK have way more regulations and enforce them a lot more than the US does. So you've not just got Amazon enforcement, you've also have the local regulatory bodies. I regularly work with sellers who have actually been reported to Amazon by EU or UK regulatory authorities. So don't just think because there are less sellers, it's probably less regulated. That is not the case. And I'm seeing a lot of sellers move to the EU and the UK getting in trouble because they think that it's just the same as America. And it's not.
Well, no, I mean, you're talking about compliance, documentation, things
like
that.
No, not just that. I mean, in general.
You mean reviews?
I've talked to a number of sellers who think because there aren't as many sellers, Amazon's just not going to be as strict on the policies there. No.
That is a fallacy. Yeah. Well, I have heard people say that. I think that came up when we had the booth at the Prosper Show. Yeah. But I've spoken with many, especially German sellers who ran afoul of review abuse rules in prior months and years. And there were a lot of German sellers taken down last year or the year before for hiring the same company. I mean, maybe we can close on this note. You will be prompted to blame a third-party service. A lot of people busted for reviews abuse or manipulation of various stripes. Amazon will say, did you hire a third-party service? Some people say it's the first words out of the account health rep's mouth when they call in. Which third-party service were you using? Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. One is there's common culprits, like the same company gets like 500 people suspended, right? And they hear the same names over and over, and that's why they focus on it. But they're looking to like hunt these people down too, because they know that if there's one of you out there or 10 of you, then there's 1,000 other sellers who may have hired this company just because they were at some event. And as you've seen and I've seen at all the events we've been to, all of these services pitching this stuff, all they do is say, oh, this is terms of service compliant with Amazon. They never explain how. They never explain their interpretation of the policy.
I think I've actually talked about that before. Yeah. If someone keeps saying something is TOS compliant without referring to actual policy, it's probably not. It's kind of like if somebody tells you something isn't a pyramid scheme, it probably is.
That's an awesome note to end on. But yes, I'm not going to take any of that seriously ever again, especially in person, unless somebody pops up a slide or shows in their presentation the link to the policy page. They show you the policy and they say, see this line? Ours doesn't do that. See this part? We don't do that. What do? We do this. Do you see anything we do on the policy page? No, it's because we're compliant. Until I see that in person, I'm going to keep asking sellers, why did you fall for it? And I get why. It's a shiny object and it's dangled in front of you and it looks like an increase in revenue during difficult times like shrinking margins and crazy tariffs. Not a good reason to lose or risk your whole business, your whole account. No. So we will include the PDF with this episode. Thank you so much for listening in and we'll catch you again next week. See you soon, Leah.